Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of A Good Drop, where every other week or so we hit up our favourite bottle shop for some basic bourbons and talk about the basics.
That's right. We're getting back to basics with beginner basics bourbon, and we've got some budget beauts for this one.
Amazing. We sure do. I'm Stu.
I'm Michael.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I suppose we should bring it back to where this first began, with the basics. What is bourbon?
Well, exactly right. If you haven't listened to our bourbon episode, where were you? What have you been doing?
Yeah.
We'll give you a moment to listen to it. Okay, there you go. Now, we'll tell you, bourbon is specifically uniquely American and must be made of a mash of a minimum of 51% corn.
In the US.
In the US.
Yeah. There's a lot of variation for that other 49%, and that's where it gets interesting.
It is, and it's also why a lot of drinks can be a bourbon and something else.
Hmm.
Because you can have a corn whiskey, which has to be a minimum of 80% corn mash.
But that's not necessarily bourbon either.
And assuming that it's made in the US and aged in brand new American oak barrels that are charred, it could be a bourbon.
Well, that fits the regulations according to bourbons.
Exactly. So it would be a bourbon and a corn whiskey.
Hmm.
And if it were also made in Tennessee, well, it'd be a Tennessee corn whiskey bourbon.
I personally can't say I've ever seen a corn whiskey, but I'm curious.
It's a thing, yeah. Yeah. I've never tried one, but it exists.
Indeed. Most, I suppose, the classic bourbon you'll find is a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. That seems to be what's mostly available here.
Yes, there is a lot of that. Now, I guess to revisit what you said about the mash and the variation with that 49%, you can get, you know, rye bourbons, wheat bourbons, where they've gone heavy on some other ingredient in the remaining 49%. And of course, that's going to make a large difference to the flavor profile.
Indeed. And you've also got the aging of how long the bourbon's been aged for. That makes a difference. And do you retain some of your mash from the previous year to hold on to that particular yeast to keep more of a similar flavor profile? That changes the flavor again.
It does. And how long you choose to age it for, as we know from when we've talked about barrel aging, makes a difference. Yes, they specifically have to age it in charred American oak barrels, but there's a minimum for how long, but not a maximum.
Mm. And that minimum is 2 years. And if a bourbon has been aged for exactly 2 years, or around about 2 years, it's called a straight bourbon.
Which is exactly what you end up with the Kentucky straight
bourbon whiskey.
Bourbon whiskey.
Yeah. I mean, the whiskey, the word whiskey on the end is superfluous. We already know it's a whiskey when it's called bourbon.
Yes.
Although in the US, if you ask for a whiskey, of course you're going to get bourbon.
Yeah, it's what they make, unless you specify that you want Scotch or Irish whiskey.
Or even rye or Canadian.
Yes. Though not all Canadian whiskies are actually Canadian whiskies, but that's a whole other episode that you should really listen to.
Yeah, that's another episode. But today we're going to really focus on what the difference is in flavor profiles for what the hell these things are called.
Yes. Now, we have in front of us two bottles, because being a beginner basics, we want to talk about a good, cheap starting point and something that ticks the good drop box as being not too expensive, but also having a bit more complexity than your starter.
Yeah. So, something interesting, I think. And these are both Kentucky straight bourbon whiskeys.
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose just for a bit of difference, the one that you've picked is also a sour mash.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is also a Kentucky straight, as you point out, but it is made on a sour mash.
Hmm. So they've retained 25% of the mash bill from the previous batch. From the previous year to use with the current batch.
Yeah, and apparently they go a little bit rye heavy on their mash.
This particular bourbon that you've picked?
Cougar, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So you've picked the Cougar Smooth Bourbon, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, and I've picked the Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. I've heard very good things about Wild Turkey, but I haven't yet had any myself. So it was a good price, it's good drop territory. And I think yours was a bit cheaper, wasn't it?
It was. It was the intended as the starter bottle, though I've never had this particular Cougar bourbon before.
And before we get into actually tasting these and talking about ways to drink it, we should probably mention the difference between Tennessee whiskey and Kentucky whiskey. Because Tennessee whiskey is made slightly differently. Because it is, it's initially made the same way, but they filter it through charred oak chips. Basically through a filtering technique called the Lincoln County process. Charcoal chips. They often use maple wood. It's done slowly in order to impart additional flavors, but sometimes the quote-unquote chips can be as large as a 2x4.
Which, yeah, is big, and it's going to take a bit to push some bourbon through that.
Or it just runs straight through it.
Yeah, but it certainly does impart a very distinct flavor.
Oh, yeah. It's got far more charcoal flavor than a Kentucky whiskey.
Yeah, absolutely, which is, I guess, an important distinction to make. Again, sort of coming back to the something can be a bourbon and something else. So you can have something be a bourbon and a Tennessee whiskey, assuming you make it in Tennessee using the correct filtration method, and it's a 51 minimum percent corn mash, and you age it in American charred oak.
Yeah.
And so then you'll end up with that distinctive bourbon flavor with that extra bit of char flavor to it.
Indeed. Indeed. Right. So shall we crack these bottles and pour ourselves a drink?
Yes. Let's give it a shot.
So how are we going to drink these straight up, first up?
So I feel like we should start by having them neat, then try it on the rocks, because we know making it cold does make a difference to the flavor of any beverage. And then with the standard mixes that one puts bourbon with, cola and dry.
All right, sounds like a plan. Well, we can pour some in our glasses straight and then put some ice in. And then pick our mixer, I guess.
Yeah. And try them both. So we're starting with the Wild Turkey. And just because it has a blurb on the back, because the Cougar, they normally have a little bit of faff somewhere on the bottle where it talks about something.
The cheap ones generally don't, though.
Yeah, the cheap ones tend to avoid that, though I noticed that the Cougar does say something.
Oh.
It has a very small label. It doesn't wrap all the way around. It's just at the front. But it says, so our process begins with carefully selected corn grains and pure limestone spring water. The American oak barrels are hand-selected and charred to provide the heart of Cougar Bourbon's flavor and aroma. Distilled using only the old traditions passed down through the generations. The result is deep in character with a distinct spice aroma that floats over a smooth finish.
Hmm. I mean, it sounds good, but it's basically just describing bourbon.
Yes, it's basically describing bourbon.
And so, saying that that someone's gone and bought a handful of barrels.
Well, hand-selected. They've hand-picked the barrels.
Hand-picked the barrels.
They've undoubtedly gone, that one, that one, that one.
Yeah.
Hand-picked.
Yep.
Certainly it doesn't say closely inspected.
Yes.
Hand-picked.
They've slapped the top of the barrel and gone, this baby can fit so many bourbons in it.
Yeah, and that's enough. That's you have it at that point.
Yeah.
So the Wild Turkey, though.
Which is what we're about to drink.
Which is what we're about to drink. Says, in 1940, a very special bottle of barrel-aged bourbon was brought on a wild turkey hunt. The name stuck and still signifies exceptional aged bourbon today. Master distiller Eddie Russell honors this tradition by aging our bourbon longer, from 5 up to 8 years, in No. 4 alligator char American oak barrels, with notes of vanilla, pear, and hints of spice. Wild Turkey finishes with a full and rich flavor, enjoyed straight or mixed, aged longer, more character.
Huh. So this is going to be probably more smoky than the other one. Because normally straight whiskey or straight bourbon is aged only 2 years, though.
Yeah. So that's...
It's interesting.
Interesting that they're calling it straight, unless... We had that wrong?
Yeah, straight whiskey. Yeah. So, straight whiskey is a age statement similar to cognac's VS. So, straight whiskey has been aged for a minimum of 2 years in oak barrels. When used in conjunction with bourbon whiskey, builds upon the basic standards. Oh, so, if it has been aged for less than 4 years, it must clearly feature an age statement. A whiskey aged for longer doesn't require an age statement, and if it fulfills other regulations, maybe... Yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, so it should be a minimum 2 years, but apparently at least 4.
Ah, so minimum 2, but can be longer, should be longer.
Yeah.
But if it's a minimum 2, you can call it a straight whiskey.
Yes, and that also means there's no additional colourings or flavourings added. And, yeah, it could be mixed with other straight bourbons as long as they were distilled in the same state. Which, I mean, it's a Kentucky bourbon, so it's got to be in Kentucky anyway.
Yeah, and there's a lot of whiskeys come out of Kentucky.
Hmm. Yeah, so, okay, so it could be 5 to 8 years.
It's possible.
Hmm.
Of course, they're not specifically talking about that one.
That is also true.
They're just talking very generally about Wild Turkey, and Wild Turkey does have some very premium aged whiskies.
They do. They sure do. On that note, let's taste this one.
Well, let's smell it first.
We all know what bourbon smells like.
But how does this one smell?
It smells like bourbon.
It does smell like bourbon, yeah. It actually has... Quite the,
it's like quite the sweet caramelly flavors, doesn't it?
Yeah,
mm.
And really gets up your nose.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I mean, it's not the worst one I've had so far. Not the worst one I've smelled.
Yes, it certainly doesn't smell like paint stripper, and that's always a good start.
Yeah, you can actually pick flavors.
Yeah.
So props on that one. However, for the beginner drinker, it's probably. Strong enough to sear their nose hairs.
Yes, it may be a little much for a beginner, but
Well, we don't recommend sipping it straight as a beginner.
Yes, exactly. But the entire reason we are doing this is so that we can get the full flavor profile unaffected by anything else.
Yeah. And so we can describe the difference in flavor between each particular way of serving it.
Exactly.
On that note,
cheers.
Oh, yeah. This is not a one you'd drink straight up.
Nope.
But once you get past the burning, it's not bad. Like, yeah. There's a lot of nice flavors there.
There's a definite caramel to it, and some
a
lot of sweetness,
a lot of spice.
Mm.
Vanilla, pear, and hints of spice.
I'm not seeing the vanilla.
I can sort of pick the vanilla, but I can't pick any pear. However, now that we've had that sip, let me grab some ice.
Ice in it, yes.
Because it's hot as buggery here today in Australia. And
ice will mellow this fiery beverage.
Yeah, I want to chill this sucker. All right, let's give it a bit of a swirl. Yep. Definitely doesn't see your nose off now.
No, it's much more subtle. Mm.
You can actually smell things.
Yes.
What does it taste like? The charcoal comes a lot more forward with that now, too.
Yeah, like it's still... Interestingly, I feel like the burn has moved. Like, it was on the palate, and now I'm kind of feeling it more to the back.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also duller.
Absolutely.
It's mellowed significantly.
Mm.
And there are more forward flavors now. That it was just the strong ones you could pick up before.
Yeah.
But as we know, ice tends to...
Well, it mutes everything.
Yeah. And it does help the weaker flavors to come forwards, though, because the intensity is kind of drawn out of it.
Hmm. Yeah. So you can taste more charcoal, less caramel. It's less sweet. Have you noticed?
Yeah. It is less sweet. And... I think I am actually getting a little bit of pear.
I'm still not picking it yet, but I still taste the vanilla.
Mm. Yeah, if my taste buds squint real hard.
But point is, it's a much, much easier drink.
Yes, it's a much easier drink to drink with the ice.
Mm.
So now stop, collaborate and listen. No, sorry.
Pardon? Oh,
the opening lyrics to Ice Ice Baby. Well, we'll just cut that.
Okay. No, I'm leaving that one in. I suppose we now need to add our mixer.
Yes.
What mixer do you prefer?
Right. So I will try it with dry.
All right.
And luckily, we're also starting with the stronger bourbon. Not that that makes any difference, because we'll be consuming the same amount both either way. But...
Cheers. Can you even smell the bourbon through the dry? Not really.
A little. A little, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it smells adulterated, at least.
Yes.
Hmm. That's not half bad.
No, that's actually... ridiculously smooth, and it still tastes like the bourbon is there. I'm still picking up those flavors. Just
obviously it's watered, quote unquote watered down.
It's subtle.
Yeah.
It's mellow.
So well, my vote's on Wild Turkey is good with dry ginger ale.
Yeah, oh, it definitely is. I mean, most whiskeys are, let's be honest. I mean, admittedly, I wouldn't do it with, you know, like a a 12-year anything or an 18-year anything or really anything older than anything more than nothing aged. You don't want to mix anything aged. Just drink that straight.
Well, on the more expensive things, my vote's on drink it how you want it.
Well, I suppose. However you enjoy it is really... Because, yeah, those people who sit around going, oh, it's blasphemy. There's a special place reserved in hell for people who waste good whiskey. We don't know if that's true or not. We haven't been.
No. I don't think there is. I think there's a special place in hell reserved for snobs. That we are not.
Mm. Yes, we are all about find the drink you enjoy and enjoy it.
Indeed. So back to bourbons though.
Yes.
This one, I can taste the vanilla and the spice. Maybe a hint of pear, but that could also be from the dry ginger ale. Or dry.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think that if you squint your taste buds real hard, there's that pear there. But otherwise, it's basically the same, but less.
Yeah. Same as the ice, but less.
Mm.
Yeah. And ginger thrown in.
Yeah, so the burn is entirely gone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the ginger burn now, of course, but that's...
Neither here nor there.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And now it's quite refreshing on a hot summer's day.
Yeah, which is exactly what today is. I believe it's, yes, a actually not hugely unpleasant 27 degrees Celsius.
Mm. But, you know, subtropics.
Yeah, we're somewhere around the 80% humidity mark today, I think.
I don't know. My phone doesn't tell me yet. Please tell me you've got an app for that.
Humidity? Yeah. Oh, well, low humidity today, 66%.
Yeah, that I would agree with that.
Mm.
It doesn't feel like you're breathing steam.
Yes, admittedly, the air doesn't feel sticky today. Yeah.
For Brisbane.
Yes, not like yesterday.
Yeah. I suppose we should finish these drinks in our own time and then try it again with Coke.
Yes, we'll be back after these messages from ourselves.
There are no messages. What do you think this is? Some kind of sponsored podcast?
And we are back and ready to see what Wild Turkey tastes like with Coke. Now, most of you who have drunk Wild Turkey have probably had it with Coke.
Yeah, I think they actually do a premix turkey and dry. They do a premix turkey and cola.
Yes, in fact, that's... predominantly the way I have consumed Wild Turkey in the past has been in the pre-mixed Wild Turkey and cola cans.
So it should taste exactly the same, right? I've got that ratio absolutely spot on, haven't I?
I would expect to taste similar, but I doubt very much that the cola they're using in those pre-mixed cans is Coke.
Yes. It would have to say on the bottle, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. If it was Coke, it would say so because Coke would insist on it.
Yes. Indeed. All right. I don't drink Coke. I don't like Coke. I just don't like the flavor. So I suppose I'm taking one for the team today and trying to taste it for you. Get over my own prejudices on Coca-Cola and flavorings and blah.
All right. So let's taste.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Blech. I don't want to taste this, but here we go.
It tastes much more strongly of bourbon.
It does. It does. But mostly Coke.
Ah, see, for me, I'm not tasting the Coke that strongly. I'm tasting the bourbon, but different flavors from the bourbon to what I was getting through the dry.
True. The vanilla is quite strong. You can't taste any of the charcoal. Obviously still can't taste the pear that they keep describing.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you need to squint your taste buds if you
if
you can manage that, and it's there if you really look hard for it and dream about it being there.
There is a more even ratio of Coke to Wild Turkey this time around than the Turkey and Dry. However,
yes, this is more of a
three to one
ratio, which generally you wouldn't do, because if it were a full glass, which we didn't do because this is just to taste, you would not do a 3-to-1 ratio of Coke to bourbon in a full glass.
No, it'd probably be like 200 mil to a, well, that 200 mil to a shot of bourbon is probably closer to a US shot. It's probably closer to 4-to-1. 4 parts Coke, 1 part bourbon.
Yeah, but this was never a 200 mil glass.
These glasses are huge, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly my point.
Oh, that's your point. Yeah.
That's exactly my point. And if you were having this in a Collins Highball, that's also not 200 mil. I think you're looking at closer to 4.
Well, that's not including ice. And you know when you go to a bar, they load that sucker up.
Yeah, they load it off with an absolute shitload of ice.
And that would put the ratio closer to 4-to-1.
Yes, exactly. That is true. Because, yeah, if you can manage to have a highball drink in a bar without a straw and tilt the glass and not get smashed in the face with an ice cube.
Mm. Or have it rest against your teeth and freeze your teeth off.
Well, what bar are you at? I want to go there. That's one where they don't scoop the cup through the ice before you begin.
On a slightly related note, I was at a bar last night and I got an old fashioned because it is a whiskey bar on the Sunshine Coast. And the guy went out the back and he brought out a glass with a big chunk of clear ice in it.
Interesting.
Mm. And of course, made the old fashioned around that. Old fashioned was fantastic, but the presentation was spot on with this huge chunk of clear ice.
I'm surprised that he was able to go all the way to the Arctic to get a chunk of clear ice to bring back in such a short period of time.
No, he told us the secret of how to make it. But, you know, he owned a whiskey bar. He said it was important to have some flair. Otherwise, why would people come here?
Well, yes. Exactly.
Hmm. Then it's just a regular bar.
Yeah.
Hmm. Good bourbons, though. Some very good bourbons they had there. Anyway, back to current bourbons.
Yes.
I suppose let's finish off this mouthful and pour
some Cougar.
Some Cougar. Okay. So, Cougar. It's a twist top.
It is a twist top.
Oh, you cracked it already.
Yep, all class. It doesn't make a satisfying sound when you open it. It just clicks. So we've all heard a twist top.
Yep. All right. Cougar, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
It is apparently smooth and distinctive.
Mm. An authentic American sour mash whiskey. What does it smell like?
Yeah, good question. Just smelling it'll put hair on your chest.
Oh, wow.
You definitely don't want to put your nose right in the glass on this one. It's not an unpleasant...
Once it finishes searing your nose hairs, yeah.
It's not an unpleasant smell once you work out how far away you need to hold the glass.
But it does have a slight... It does have a slight flavor of... A slight smell of paint stripper.
Slight, but this is our beginner. This is our entry level.
Yes.
You're not ever going to drink the entry level straight. It's the question of when you mix it with something, is it still distinctively a bourbon, but pleasant to drink and smooth? And that's...
Yes.
That's what I'm anticipating. Because had we gone to our our favorite bottle shop, this bottle of Cougar would have been Hogs 3.
Of course.
Because that is, to me, the starter bourbon. Ooh. It's so smooth.
Well, I've got high hopes for this one because you've picked it.
Yes.
And I think the Hogs 3 smells quite rough on its own, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I picked this one based on having had their black, which is the higher quality Cougar.
Okay, well.
But let's taste it and see how it is.
Cheers.
Cheers.
You know what?
It's actually not
half bad.
Yeah, it's quite pleasant.
That all the kicking is done through your nose hairs.
Yeah, the smell is immensely misleading. It's sweet. There's a little bit of sourness to it.
Not as sweet as the Wild Turkey, which is interesting.
Mm.
But our taste buds could still be a little bit affected by the Coke and the dry.
That is true. Just have to have another sip.
Oh, no. Mm. It does have a different flavor to it that's not present in the Wild Turkey.
Yeah. I mean, it has spice, but not like the Wild Turkey. It's a different sort of spice.
Yeah. But still a very similar drink.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm actually quite surprised how smooth it is, even though it says smooth and distinctive on the bottle. It says smooth twice, in fact.
Yes, it is a smooth and distinctive smooth bourbon.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
It puts my hackles on the back of my neck up. When I see something mentioned more than once, I become very skeptical of whether it is actually the thing they're marketing.
Yes, the spider sense does start to tingle when you see it pop up a couple of times.
Yeah,
and you wonder, are you just saying that?
Yeah,
but no, it actually is. It is actually smooth, and for the price point,
yeah. It's smooth, I swear.
It is actually... I feel it is actually a decent entry-level bourbon.
Yeah. There's not that much flavor there, but, you know, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, it's smooth, mostly. It's simple, it's bourbon.
Mm.
And it's, about $10 a bottle cheaper?
If not more.
Mm.
Shall we throw in some ice?
Yes, let's. Right, so, yes, with the ice...
Is it going to sear our noses off again?
I don't think so.
Me neither, but...
It's subtle. Subtle AF. Comparatively.
Yeah, there's still a tingle there. Still a little tingle. But it smells like a bourbon now.
Yeah.
You can actually smell
it. Yes, you can. It doesn't just smell like burning.
Yeah.
Which is really surprising that something that doesn't taste like burning and just tastes like a nice smooth bourbon can smell so much like burning.
Yeah. It's quite interesting how the ethanol or whatever it is just evaporates quickly.
Mm. Yeah, well, because generally with a lot of drinks, like a tequila or a mezcal, if it smells like burning, it's going to taste like burning.
Yeah. And most of the time, it's the same with scotch as well, because they tend to be more peaty.
Yes.
And if it tastes like burning, it's going to... Or if it smells like burning, it's going to taste like charcoal.
Yeah, and then you want it to taste like charcoal.
Yeah.
Taste like charcoal. Yeah. Yes, you want it to taste like charcoal.
Or smoke.
Yeah.
Anyway, we should taste these before the ice melts too much.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh. That's still not great.
I was actually thinking it was relatively acceptable. I mean, this is definitely a mixing bourbon.
Yeah. Hands down.
It's still got a little bit of bite to it, but we've tasted things on this podcast in the past that kicked like a mule, and this definitely doesn't do that.
No, it's not half bad. Not, yeah, not terrible.
Yes.
Would I buy it again? Probably not.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and definitely something that I'll take it home and I'll mix in.
Mm. And if that was the drink on offer, if that was the bar whiskey or the house whiskey, I wouldn't complain too much.
Yeah, and I mean, we're about to mix it and we'll see how it goes.
Let's do some dry ginger ale.
Yeah, let's mix it with dry. I'm willing to bet that mixed with dry, it's amazeballs. That's my thought. That it's going to be on par with the turkey once you add dry. Because that's generally what I find about mixes. It's the great equalizer. As long as you have a mixer that works well with the flavor of the thing you're mixing it with, the quality of said thing ceases to be so relevant.
I mean, there are exceptions, of course, but yeah, as a general rule, it evens out the playing field.
Yes.
Yes. That being said, if you have a very nice mixer and a very nice spirit, you're going to have a very, very nice drink.
Well, yes, quality mixed with quality is going to result in quality.
Mm. But also, one quality and one average is still going to raise the bar.
Yeah, exactly right.
Mm.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So, cougar and dry?
Cougar and dry.
How does it taste? Yeah. It's okay.
I'm quite enjoying it.
Well, it's still still hits the refreshing points.
Well, yes, it does still hit the refreshing points.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's a basic spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only so much you can enjoy a basic B. A basic bourbon, I mean.
Yes, a basic bourbon, yeah. But that's what we're talking about. You need a good entry point for anything you're not used to.
Mm.
If you want to get into, and because we all, even us, began somewhere. And true. You want to begin with something that's cheap enough that the fact that you don't have the appreciation of it yet, that you haven't developed the taste buds for it yet, won't matter so much. But it's still going to have those flavors and it's not going to belt you about.
Mm. There's also the fact that there's money involved, and the younger you are, the less free cash you usually have to spend on expensive things.
And yes, when you're young is often the point when you're getting started on developing a taste for a specific thing.
Mm.
Because a lot of alcohols are acquired tastes.
Yeah. Yeah. That being said, there are drinks that are easier than others.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the whole point of these beginner episodes.
Yes, to let you know where to start. If you've got a bunch of friends who drink bourbon and you don't, but you want to.
Mm.
Or you're just interested in trying it out and you don't want to throw too much away on seeing what you think of it.
Indeed. If you want to try it straight, spend a little more. If you want to, if you like mixed drinks, you can get away with spending a little less.
Yeah, absolutely. And both of the things we had today were acceptable.
Mm.
If you've got that little bit extra, obviously the Wild Turkey is that bit smoother than the Cougar.
Yeah. Wild Turkey, Hogs 3, what else is around that price point? Maker's Mark.
Yeah, the Maker's Mark, very well known.
Mm.
And with good reason.
Yeah. Also a Kentucky Straight bourbon. What else is around that price? Grouse? The one, that grouse one?
Oh.
Naked Grouse?
I don't know that it's that, quite that price point, but I guess ish?
Ish. It's a little bit more than these.
And of course, Jim Beam is a very well-known...
Yeah, Jim Beam and Jack Daniels make varying price point... They make varying price points to slate your taste buds.
Mm, but they all have that distinctive flavor of that brand, which I guess in part is why Jim Beam and Jack Daniels have such religious followings.
Indeed.
Because people who really like that flavor profile, well, they'll just keep drinking that brand.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Reminds me of our Blind Scotch episode where we had very expensive Johnny Walker.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I recognized the Johnny Walker almost immediately, if I recall.
Because it tasted like Johnny Walker. It tasted
like Johnny Walker, yeah.
I drank it already. Finish it off. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Surprisingly good for Johnny Walker. anyway, we're going to finish the last mouthful of this one and then pour ourselves a drink with Coke.
Yes.
All right. So we've also poured ourselves a glass of Coke. And Coke and Cougar. Cougar and Coke. We've poured ourselves a splash of each.
And let's see how it tastes. Because we've got the ratio about the same as we've got the ratio about the same as we did for the Wild Turkey.
Mm.
So it should be a relatively fair comparison.
Should be.
Except that, of course, the Cougar and the Wild Turkey is not an even comparison.
Oh, no, not even close. I mean, they're all whiskies, but...
They're all bourbons.
Yeah. But they're not the same.
No.
Shall we?
Yes, let's. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, the smell, just before I even start drinking it, the smell is stronger.
I'm actually kind of enjoying this with cola more. I mean, you don't like Coke, so it's going to be a bit different for you.
But I can taste the bourbon a little more. It's a stronger flavor coming through.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to mix it with Coke, the Cougar may actually be the better option.
Hmm. Makes sense if that's what they were aiming for.
Yeah, well, exactly right. Hmm. If they built this from the ground up to mix with cola, which they might have done.
Yeah.
Because in the cheaper end, that tends to be what you're going to mix a bourbon with.
Mm, that's what you order at the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it generally tends to be the people that don't like Coke order the whiskey and dry.
Yes.
I mean, I don't like Coke, but I don't disagree with you on this one.
Mm.
It's not bad. Is it better than the whiskey and dry? In my opinion, no. Am I adjusting for my bias against Coke? Maybe.
And is it better than the Wild Turkey and Coke? That's the real question.
Honestly, it's about on par. Maybe a smidge better.
And on that bombshell, it's time to end.
Yes. Yeah, I suppose that's true. So, before we close out, I should probably mention that if you're at a bar and you want to try some whiskies, try it as an old-fashioned. That is a drink that makes bourbons and scotches easier to drink.
That's true. A good old-fashioned can be quite satisfying.
Mm. And because they're an easy cocktail to make, bartenders are usually happy to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Bartenders love to give you an old-fashioned.
Mm.
They like the old-style things that they don't get to make that often.
Yeah. Yeah. And even though it may not be on their cocktail list, that's something that most bartenders know how to make. It's a classic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's an International Bartenders Association standard.
Hmm. And on that bombshell. Yeah. If you liked what you heard, be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We are A Good Drop All About Alcohol on your favorite podcast app, including Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more.
You can also find us in the metaverse on Facebook and Instagram as A Good Drop Podcast.
Hmm. If you want to check out our giant library of previous episodes, this is episode 188. You can find us at agooddrop.com.au, or if you've got any comments, questions, feedback, or if you've got a favorite bourbon that you want us to know about, send us an email to agooddrop@gmail.com.
So be sure to tune in next time when we tell you how to chill out your drink.
Chill out your drink. Yeah, we're going to be super cool on this episode. We're going to throw our shades on, put our hat backwards, and maybe pull our vodka out of the freezer.
Yes, it's going to be all about different ways to cool your drink and what difference that might make to the flavor.
Mm. And whether you actually should or not chill this beverage.
Mm-hmm.
So, until then, cheers.
Cheers.